Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Please stand with me as we pray. Father God, we just love spending time with you. We love being in your presence, Lord, and that's what we ask for this day, Lord. Be welcomed into this place. We welcome your presence, Lord. We don't want to do just church. We want your spirit to flow. We invite your spirit to flow through the worship music, through the word that's going to be coming forth today, Lord, that we would be able to just share what you've placed in the hearts of all of us. And so, Lord, welcome to this place. Just let your spirit flow from each one, throughout this building, Lord. We declare this is your home, Lord. This is your house. And thank you, Lord, that you give us the freedom to be who you want us to be, Lord. Amen. We pray this in Jesus' name. And now let's just shout a little bit of music here. Woo! Amen.
Can you just feel the Lord moving in our midst? Can you just feel the power? When we surrender to that power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. Not us, but Christ through us. When we surrender to His will, what can we do for Him? His plan.
In James, it tells us that we are to rejoice in the trials that we go through. And it's not so much in the actual trial that you're going through. Not so much if you don't have the funds to meet tomorrow's deadline or whatever it is that's personal to you. The good part is to know that whatever trial you're going through, that He's walking with you. That's where the rejoicing comes from. It's not so much in what you're going through, it's as much as that knowing that He's with you, walking with you, and that guess what? You're gonna get to the other side. When Jesus told His disciples in that storm, He said, "We're going to the other side." And then they've hit a storm, and He was relaxed because He knew they were going to the other side. And so whatever it is that's going on in your lives for today, He's walking with you. He's going to get through it with you. And just as this song says, right? He'll do it. So just trust in who you have walking with you. Thank you.
Good morning. I just have to laugh sometimes because I was the shyest little girl. I hid behind my mom and I had long hair and I hid behind it. And I never wanted to talk in public, and I just think it's amazing that He gets me up here sometimes to repose. It just shocks me. But God is more than able, because if He can turn a shy person around like that, that's amazing. But I wrote this week. I was reading about Elijah and the widow and how she thought she didn't have enough and she didn't know, you know, what to do. And she was talking to Elijah about it, and he told her to, "What do you have?" And she said, "Just a little oil." But that little oil she had, he told her to shut the door and have her sons gather some jars or vessels to put the oil in. And then she was able to fill up all the jars with oil, and she sold them, and she could pay off all her debt, and she had her sons with her still. So this is what he had me write this week on that poem, on that verse in the Bible. Shut the door on all your problems. Look to God and bend your knees. Focus on Him only, for God will supply all your needs. He's our protector, our provider, and our savior when everything looks bleak. So shut the world behind you. Seek His presence. He will speak. He will show you what is needed and provided by His hand. And you will know for certain you are loved, and on His foundation, you can stand.
Man, this song hit me like a ton of bricks. But that's the thing, it's just such an overwhelming feeling of love. See, that's the thing, is that we serve a God that loves us so much. When we're at our messiest, ugliest dumpster fire moments, to all the glimmering moments that He sees, who He knows He's created us to be. You see? It's just, we serve a God who just wants to build us up in so many ways. And so often, a lot of what stops us or puts a stop to it is us, right? Getting in the way. But the ability to just surrender things, it's such a powerful thing in our life. It really is. It's a great act of faith, right? To say, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't even know what to do. But I do know that what you say is true. So I'm going to step out even when I don't see it. Even when I don't know. Because I think, just like, we're going to go back to this spot in this song, but it says, I've come a long way. That's the thing. See, God's always got us in a forward motion. He wants us to be moving forward. He doesn't care about what you did when, or what happened, or what's going on with what. See, those are things we worry about. For Him, He paid a price a long time ago that covered all of it. And now He just wants to build a relationship. See, He can take us out of all of it. Whatever you're going through, whatever you think you might be stuck at, or whatever else, whatever it might be, He has the ability to just pick us up and change everything. But we gotta allow it to happen. We gotta let it flow, right? We gotta understand that even when people tell you, oh, but this is how you were, and this is who you are, that you show, but this is who God's made me. See, it's powerful in our life when God shines through, when He goes and He does things in our life that don't make sense to people around us. That's exactly what He wants in our life. Because when you become who He is, you're more powerful than anything you could ever do on your own. Can we all stand back up? And can we just, let's go back into this. And I just want to encourage you this morning. This song has more to do with my sermon today than I even realized or thought. And I just want us all to just surrender. Open your heart. Let God flood in. And allow Him to do what He's wanting to do today. And be willing. Surrender it all.
So, like yesterday at men's breakfast, one of the things I was kind of talking about, something I've been talking to youth about a lot, is like doing the small things. It's important, right? Because it talks about in Hebrews how all these things built up to kind of like, you know, falling out of God's favor, right? With the Israelites and the desert when they're wandering there. But the same thing goes for doing the small things and being blessed, right? You know, it's funny, I was talking to Hector earlier, and he asked me about work, and he was like, so how's work? And I was like, well, it's probably one of the worst weeks of work I've had in a long time. And the week before that was almost as bad. And Rebecca heard that. She's like, whoa. But the thing is like, you know, people around me, they saw kind of like what was happening with me and everything, right, at work. And the thing that's going to make a difference is if I continue to do the small things, right? If I continue to be that man of God, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God is looking for. And we have to remember so many times, one thing Randy brought up was, you know, getting those thoughts captive, holding them captive. Before they go out your mouth, make sure you take a moment and you think about it. But I just want to encourage you, like, if you feel like nothing's going on in your life right now, just keep doing the small things. And you'll be in the right place at the right time to do whatever God's called you to do. One big example I had was like David. You know, he wasn't looking for a fight when he fought Goliath. Okay, he was just obeying his parents and mom. Yes, I'll bring it up again. Because, you know, honor thy mother and father, so it may go well with you and you have long life. First commandment with a promise. So, I mean, that's what he was doing. He went from being a shepherd to a king. Just because he was doing those small things. And that's the people that we need to be. And if you don't think something small can be something big, listen to this. This is Matthew 13. Here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make a nest in its branches. Jesus walked this earth. He was just with a few fishermen, tax collector, right? People that wouldn't think anything. Like, these people are okay. They're just people. But they changed the world. A small group of people changed the world for thousands of years. And God lives in those who believe. That same power, that same authority lives in you. Wherever you walk, you do those things, you bring life with you. Just like you bring... Let's talk about this mustard seed bringing life to these birds that live in the trees. You bring life to those around you. So just keep doing the small things, and God will bless it.
Okay, there we go. What you were saying, how we've come a long way. You're talking about surrender. Where's Stella at? Is she back? All week. Pretty timely we'd be talking about this. I've been talking about surrender all week long. I've been dealing with something in my health now. I'm not going to talk about it, but something in my health for 9 months. So going on in my health, and I'm not going to talk about that because it's not relevant. But when you go through something like I'm going through for 9 months... You get to a place where you surrender and you say, yes, Lord, whatever you want, I'm giving it to you. We've all have our stories of how we've all come a long way, right? Everyone, raise your hand if you've come a long way. Yeah. So all glory to God for that. All glory to God for that. I didn't expect I would stand up here again, but I wish I could give my whole story. I would love to give my story, but just to make it short. Where's Abe at? Abe, small things. Being a good steward in the small things. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do... Do it as unto the Lord, not unto men. whatever you do, we do it as unto the Lord. And that's what brought me up here earlier, was what I do, what we do for the community is for God's glory. It's not for ours, our pages. It's just not for us. It's for God's glory, taking care of the earth. Again, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, not unto men. And I praise be unto God. Thank you, Stella. I'm at a complete place in my life right now. I'm completely surrendered. That's a good place to be. When you're surrendered, that's a very good place to be. So I give glory to God for that. Finally, because His will be done, not mine.
Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I've been going through situations back and forth in my household, but God knows my story. He's won every battle, and everything is going to be good. We just have to keep our faith strong and keep trotting along. Tuesday morning at our girls' reunion, you know, the ladies prayed for me, and I felt this big heaviness fall off of me. It was amazing. And I remember Stella, in her prayer, she said, there is angels around your property. There are angels in your household. You are protected. You are protected. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And it's true. It's true. You know, he's working with me, and he's working with my family, and we're going to get through no matter what happens, if it's good, if it's bad. We always have to thank the Lord. We have to. And we have to be good to everybody and just trust him and trust him, because everything is already, the battle has been won. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You guys all about preached my sermon this morning, so we're going to go right in. you know, all week, I kind of had a week like Abe, which is, I think, why it stood out to me when he was talking about it, because I think, like, I was like, way to be honest, Abe, because it can be rough sometimes, right? But then when people ask, we're like, we're good. It's okay, we're good. You know what I mean? But, like, I just loved that he, like, totally honestly put it out there. Like, it was a bad week. Like, you know what I mean? And, but that's the thing, is that a lot of times God works in our bad weeks like crazy, right? Like, when things are happening, it's, you may feel like you're really going through it, but God's just working, you know what I mean? And it's really just so awesome to see the aftermath, right, of what you just went through. Well, all week, God talked to me a lot about freedom. I was even telling Kathy and Gina, I was like, oh, God's been giving me all this stuff on freedom. It's been really good, which it is. It's really good stuff. I really liked it. But I really thought that's what my sermon was going to be about today. And so I had all these notes and I had all this stuff and everything that I had been putting together from like the week, because it was like a lot of stuff that I had been really, like, God had just been showing me a bunch of stuff. And then last night we got home from, Davin had games and stuff, and we got home and I was like, okay, I had this feeling of like, this should be pretty good because I have a lot of stuff that God gave me. And I sat down and I could not stay awake for one. I kept like wanting to fall asleep. And then two, every time I'd start rereading it, I just didn't feel like it was as amazing as what it was during the week for me. You know what I mean? Like, you can definitely feel it, right? This feeling of like, oh, this is just so good. And sometimes, like, I feel like it was God literally being like, I'm turning off the faucet for that because that's not what I want you to speak about. You know what I mean? Like, and I read it a bunch of times, got to the point where, like, by, I don't know, 1 a.m, I was like ready to wake my dad up and be like, I don't think I'm supposed to preach. Like, like, because it doesn't, nothing feels right. It doesn't seem right. And I was like, okay, God, like, let's pray about this because you got to give me something. Like, there's no time for like my dad to just like whip out a message after 1 p.m., 1 a.m., right? So like, you got to have something, right? And so I started listening to some worship music, and I also started being like, okay, well, I'm just going to read other stuff. You know what I mean? Like, so I did. I just opened the Bible, started reading, and I'm going to be honest. I read a lot of stuff before something just, bam, it just hit. Like, oh, that's so good. And then from there, it was like this, it just kept going, right? And so it may be, it might end up being short. We'll see, because I only have a certain amount of scriptures that he really gave me. It is from a different perspective than I really thought that he'd, I guess, I don't know. In my mind, I was like, oh, there's all these scriptures that could go along with this, but none of those were the scriptures he gave me. It's kind of different stuff, right? So, we're gonna go through this, and I'm gonna give you these scriptures. I think they're really good scriptures, and a lot of them are together, but they're not the full like chapter, right? And I would just really encourage you, go back and read the chapters. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm gonna pick out the pieces so that we can like go through it, but the whole things are just really good. You know what I mean? Because it's just, it really speaks on all of it in those chapters. And you, it just has a lot, right? There's a lot in there, little treasures. So, but one of the, so what he talked to me about last night, well, this morning, early this morning, it has so much to do with the way I saw it in my mind is kind of like, we get put in this box, right? Of like, this is how things should happen, what we should think or believe, or you know, because we grow up right going to school and learning that science tells us that this can happen and this can't happen, and that this can, you know, that, you know, I don't know, the world is round, right? It's just, we get a lot of those facts thrown at us, right? Which really, as we grow up, growing up, we really just start to, okay, this is the way the world works, right? Like, that's really what it's telling us. But see, God works so much outside of that, right? And we are meant to function in the kingdom, but that's the thing, is functioning in the kingdom, it's like leveling up, right? Like, it's, we're definitely supposed to start seeing some things that he's wanting to give us. It's a revelation that happens through spending time and going after him and the Holy Spirit just revealing things to us, right? Which we have talked about a lot of times. So now this is kind of the level up, right? God's really wanting, it was almost like, oh gosh, God, it's like you're calling us to realize we got to wake up. Like, we got to realize that we got to change some things. We got to do some things. We got to see some things. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the thing, is there should be a difference between just going to church every single day or every Sunday and every day just reading. See, it shouldn't just become like a scheduled ritual thing, you know what I mean, in our life. It's meant to be a true relationship in the sense of like, okay, anytime I need it, it's available to me. Anytime that I am at work, that I'm wherever I'm at, it's an opportunity for us to be able to, we can be in prayer. We can be singing songs. We can do whatever it might be. But see, that's the thing, is God's available to us 24/7. There's not a time that he tells us, okay, I'm going on break. You know, you can come back at this time. See, that's the thing, is we do that, but he doesn't do that. See, he's always there. He's always on. He's always ready, right? But that's the thing. It takes us having a hunger and a thirst to dive in and go after it, to pull out some of those things he's really wanting to give us. See, it's just, we've always talked about God revealing things to us, right? But that revelation comes in time spent. It really does. Because, see, he tells us that there's mysteries, right? There's like the puzzle pieces that we're not quite sure of. But it's not that he hasn't given them to us. It's just that we're not taking them. See, we're not diving in. We're not going all in. We're putting limits a lot of times on what God can do. See, we just sang a whole song that I told you hit me like a ton of bricks on God is more than able. You know, when God gave me that song for the set list this week, I thought the second song fit my sermon more than that song, but man, it hit me like crazy. Probably because I didn't know what my sermon was, right? I was thinking it was on freedom, right? And that's the thing is, see, God always knows what he's doing, and he's always able to give us more abundantly above and beyond all that we could ask or think, because he sees more than we see, right? He literally formed us, created us, and said, these are all the gifts and all the amazing things I've put within you. Now you're going to go do them, right? But that's the thing, is we don't know those things because we've not spent time with the one we're meant to reflect. We spend so much time doing things the way we think they should be done, the way, you know, maybe we've been taught, maybe the way that we've been, okay, this is how. But we should be going after him in everything, every single thing, asking, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Or not even that, just, I love you. I want to spend time with you. See, that's the thing, is those moments are so powerful, and they can be an everyday, all the time moment. It doesn't even have to be limited to your morning reading or your evening reading. See, this is the thing, is we're meant to start unlocking some things that he's wanted us to unlock the whole time. But because we let little things just get in the way and distract us and move us away from those things, we're constantly doing this, like we're walking, we're moving, we're walking, we're going here, right? And that's the thing, is all we got to do is focus on him. Even when things get rough, even when you're a little hurt or you're not feeling well, those are the moments to dive in even more. Those are the moments to say, okay, I'm not going to let that distract me. I'm going to go after you even more. What do you want me to do? What do you want to give me? Do you want to give me a peace? Because that's the thing. The peace that passes all understanding comes when we rest in him. See, but taking things into our own hands or sitting in our feelings or letting things get in the way isn't helping us move into those areas. Whew, come on, church. We're meant to be different. We're not meant to be like everybody else. Amen. See, we're not meant to function like everybody else. He tells us that we're meant to be the light and the salt, right? But if we're just mixing into the mesh of everything else going on in this world, how are we standing out or seasoning this world? See, he's got so much more that he wants to pull out. He's never done, and he's never just stopped. See, that's the thing. We think, oh, we finished our schooling, or we were done with our job, or we wherever we're at in our life, and we almost come to this sense of like, okay, we're good. And we get comfortable. But see, it's a good thing for God to keep us a little uncomfortable all the time. Because see, he's trying to grow us. He's trying to continue to give us things. If you're still here, you still got something. He's not done with me yet.
See, that's just what we talked about. He's not done. It doesn't matter what point you think you've made it to in your life. He still has more things that he's trying to show you, give you, and pull out of you. That he's wanting to place more goals, more dreams, more visions, all of those things for your life. Let's go to... Sorry, Liz, it's kind of going to be a different spot than where I planned to start. It's going to be a... Let's go to John 18:33. Okay, and it says, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus. So we're in the moment where, okay, God, Jesus was betrayed, right? They have him, they brought him in. And now Pilate's trying to, I'm trying to fight for you, right? And he's talking to him, right? So it says, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? And Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out. Oh, wait. Pilate said unto him, oh. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I unto the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Okay, I want to stop here first. That's the part I wanted to see. Okay, let's just look at this. This is the area that I was telling you is a little bit different than where I thought God would actually, like, I was thinking he was going to take me to this, like, you know, musicians walking around the walls to bring them down type of moment where it's like big, you know, how did that happen? You know what I mean? But he brought me to this. And when he brought me to this, it was just like, oh, I can even feel it. I really like, you know, when you're in your Bible and you read the red letters. I just really enjoyed it this morning when I was reading it, because I was just like, man, it's so powerful to hear him say these things and to have a knowledge of what they mean. Do you know what I mean? Like, they had no idea, but he was giving them some nuggets of truth there that were pretty awesome, right? Yeah. This is the thing. See, he even tells Pilate, my kingdom's not of this world, or else this would be a different situation, right? But then when he tells him, are you a king? For his response to be, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. He knew, my purpose is this, that I'm going to die for all of you. Regardless of whether you understand it or not, I'm doing it. That's my purpose. You know what I mean? And then he said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into this world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. I said something to Lonnie this week because we were listening to this new song that we did. And the part in that song that gets me every time is actually the part that I wish they would repeat. And they really don't, you know what I mean? But it's the part that goes, Where, O death, is now your sting, and where, O grave? See, your victory, right? Oh, it's so good. Because that's the thing. I've heard my dad preach about how we have victory over death for years. And how God's given him all these things. And it's kind of this area, right, that freaks people out. Like, what? Like, everybody dies. You know what I mean? But that's the thing. Why do we think that? Why do we think, but everybody dies? Where did we get that thought process and that mentality? See, we got it from growing up learning that everybody grows from a kid into an adult and then eventually in their life dies. Right? See, this right here, Pilate speaking to Jesus, man, I just enjoyed it so much because it was this moment of like, see, this is me working outside of the box. Who would have ever believed that if he came and he said, actually, let's be honest, he actually did say it a lot throughout the Bible, like, right, when he was actually ministering, but nobody believes that a guy who's walking the earth with them came into it specifically to die for all of them, cover their sins, and give them eternal life. See, that was him working outside of the box. I'm gonna come, and me walking in the way you all should walk, I'm showing you the power that you have. Me walking in the way you all should walk, I'm not only gonna minister to you and show you truth, but I'm also gonna take all your sins and I am gonna die for you and I'm gonna overcome death so that you can live. Woo! See, it's powerful when we realize that we need to start looking outside of the box we create for ourselves. When we need to start realizing that healing is true, that breaking chains is something he actually does. Breaking addictions is something that he does. Breaking depression is something that he does. See, he is not limited by what we think should happen. Oh my goodness, church. See, it's powerful when we realize we need to start stepping outside the box because he doesn't function in this little tiny box that everybody's created for us because this is how we've been taught things should be. See, he's got so much more. Everything that he did from spitting in mud and putting it on a blind man's eyes to dying on a cross. You know, that's the thing. Let's look at so many little moments, right? The lady with the issue of blood. She didn't even have to ask for prayer. She didn't have to ask God, pray for me and heal me. She knew, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. What kind of faith is that? What kind of faith is it to say, I don't even have to have you look at me. I just know it's true, so I'm going to do it. See, she knew that the power he had, she needed. And she wanted it, and she went after it. See, that's the thing. That is all of these moments that were recorded in the living word were to show us who we are. See, yes, it shows us who he is, but that's the thing. Is we are a reflection of our creator. We were made in his image. That's the thing. He gave us all of those things. He never created us and said, and now I'm going to put a limitation on you. No, he created us knowing you are going to be great. You are more than a conqueror. You are everything that I need you to be for this world. And then he allowed us to have it when he died on that cross for us. Yeah. He didn't let your sins, your double-mindedness, any of those things get in the way of what he had for you. He paid a price and he said, it's yours here. See, but that's the thing is we don't take hold of it like we should. We don't grab it and run with it like we should. Because that's the thing is if we did, and I'm not even talking about just this church. I'm talking about everybody because it is a body, right? And that body doesn't just mean this body. It means all over, everywhere. If we began to operate the way that God called us to operate, there would be a whole lot more visible changes happening in people's lives because of a strong movement of God. Because he'd be shining bright all over the place. See, I don't know if you guys remember, but there was like a few weeks back that we talked about how God gave me a vision of like two floating, like, I don't know if it's like a floating piece of rock or ground or something, but being with your feet on both of them and that they were like moving away from each other. See, that moving away from each other is that when the Holy Spirit is giving us things in our life, right? It's actually taking us away from operating like the world. See, it's separating us, right? The Bible actually talks about, there's a part that it talks about where it's talking about judgment, right? And that there becomes a visible separation, right? See, that visible separation happens because you begin to look completely different. It's actually like a cloaking, right? Like it's literally like, okay, now instead of looking like Rebecca, we're a reflection of who God is. See, and that's the thing is I never even realized when he gave me that vision the first time, I know it was like, okay, we shouldn't be on like two spots, right? But when I was reading all this stuff, I started to realize like, man, see, it's moving apart because if we're really going after God, there should be this gap that starts to happen, right? Visibly, right? Like maybe we looked at this like this at one point, but now God is moving us this way because he's showing us some things, right? And as he's showing us, it's moving apart and we can't, we just absolutely cannot be on both. See, that's the thing about things moving apart from each other, right? There's a certain point where your feet can't be on both anymore and either you're going to fall through the middle or you're going to decide to jump on one. See, and that's the thing is it's time for the church to decide. It really is. It's time for us as individuals to decide, am I going all in or am I going to keep doing this thing where like I'm asking God for things, I'm talking to God, but I'm not really believing that he's going to do it. Or maybe we're asking him for things and we're talking to him about things, but we're refusing to be obedient in what he's telling us. See, that's the thing. It comes to a point where we have to realize I'm either getting on this train or I'm missing it. Right? And it's getting serious. It is. I truly believe that that's what God was talking about when he was giving me the sermon is, okay, no more messing around. See, we can't, the Bible actually talks to us about being lukewarm, right? And that he will literally spew us out. That's the thing. He does not want us being lukewarm at all. It's not helping you at all. It's not helping us in any way, right? Sometimes we actually just extend the amount of time we're stuck in a hard moment because we just can't make the decision to go all in for God, right? Let's look at how long they wandered the wilderness, right? Really, when you look at it, they did like circles, right? It could have been as simple from point A to point B. I got this for you. I'm trying to give it to you. It's such a reflection of our life, right? But from, yeah, we're following God, we're getting out of slavery, to, oh God, I don't think you can provide. Like, and then, oh yeah, you can do it. I got, we're going at it. And then again, oh gosh, like, I don't know. It's a reflection of our life, right? Yeah. Oh God, I'm all in because I'm having a really hard time. I'm going after you and I'm seeing you moving now. But then when things are great, are you still going after him wholeheartedly the way you were before? See, that's the thing is, yes, there may be valleys, and yes, he's there to help you in them. But even when you're in the mountaintops, it's a moment for great growth, right? To keep going in, to keep going after him, to keep getting more, to keep going after what he's wanting to give us. There should never be a moment where we say, we're good. We made it. See, God's always got stuff that he's wanting to place within us. Constantly. Okay, let's go to... Let's go to Mark. Actually, let's go to Luke 12, 15. I'm going to actually open this right here too, because I think, Liz, that I didn't give you to where it's going to end. So, Luke 12, 15. It says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will put down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? See, I really liked this for this, because this is kind of what we were talking about, right? We get into these places where we think, like, by the world standards, we've made it. We did good. We finished school. We started a great job. We did all, whatever it might be, right? But without the actual fruits that we should be bearing in the spirit, I mean, those are the ones that matter, right? See, that's exactly what he's telling him here. Man, you worked so hard and you went after all this stuff, but now that's gone, right? And that's the thing is, if you go, sorry, I lost where it was. If you go into verse 22, it said, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto them that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? O ye of little faith, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. See, this is basically telling you just what we talked about. Don't let things distract you from focusing on him. Because focusing on him gives you everything else. He tells us that right here, right? But it gives you greater than anything you could toil for yourself. Anything that you could labor for, work for as hard as possible, go after for as hard as possible. See, our thought process, like we just talked about, a lot of times deals within a little box, right? But his is so much greater and so much higher than anything we could think. So if we learn to focus just on him, all the other things get added. Where you thought that you couldn't do something on your own, he'll do it. Where you thought maybe you didn't have the finances for, he'll provide. See, that's the thing, is it may not look or feel like it's what you're supposed to be doing, right? But see, that's the thing, is that's okay. Because it's not meant for us to be doing it. It's meant for him to be doing it. See, if we start learning that these are some battles that we don't even need to be fighting on our own, you know what I mean? Like, just looking at this scripture, right? There's another part in the word that talks about the guy who, is it a pearl he finds? And then he buys the whole field because he wants the treasure, right? See, that's the thing. We should be constantly going after the nuggets that God's giving us. Those treasures are way more valuable than anything we just purchase and buy on our own here earthly. See, these things don't follow us. Even though maybe it feels good and by the world standards, maybe you've hit a good standard. See, the standard that God has for you is so much higher and greater than anything that we could think for ourselves. So, excuse me, when we begin to realize that if we focus on him all the time, he's still got something else he's going to be placing and giving. He's still got something that he's going to be doing. And as we go after him and as we begin to grow in him, we begin to, without even realizing it, we start to see when we look back that he already added all of those things through it all. Amen. When something came up, he took care of it. When we hit a moment, we had spent so much time taking in the word of God and knowing who he is that it came up, right? In the moment it was needed. See, that's the thing, is we should be constantly going after him and filling ourselves with what he has for us. And then he places all the rest in place for us. It's a very simple concept, right? That we end up muddying, right? Because we just get so focused on like, oh my gosh, like, you know, what am I going to do about this? Or, oh my gosh, like, you know, work isn't going great. And what should I be doing? And what should I, like, that's the thing. Just don't let those moments distract you from still going after him 100% to find out what he wants you to do, to find out what mountains he's moving, what things he's doing in your life. See, because he's got great things. Let's go to Mark 4. Hello. Okay. Let's go Mark 4:11. It says, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. See, this scripture, I just wanted to give you guys, because it goes, this is where I was telling you that Mark 4, there's actually quite a few things in there. So we're going to take a few of the ones, but we don't want to be these people, right? So that's the thing, is we don't want to see and not perceive. We don't want to hear. that's the thing is we want to go after him so that when he speaks to us, we obtain that knowledge. We understand what he's saying, what he's telling us, what he's giving us, right? And that's all, again, spent, it's in spending time, right? As we spend time, as we commune with God and we build a relationship, he will unlock all of those mysteries and keep giving us new things, new things, new things, because now you're going to begin to see things that you didn't see before. And that's where you want to be. Okay, let's go to 4:30, Mark 4:30. It says, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, it is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. This is the second time you're hearing this scripture this morning because Abe said it. And that's the thing is, see, a lot of the knowledge that we begin to take in also has to do with faith and moving in it, right? And that's the thing is, so I actually looked this up because it can be very confusing when you go and you look up mustard seed, there's different ones, right? And so one's like this weed looking thing that grows everywhere, right? And, but then there's an actual mustard tree, which can grow up to 25 feet tall. And what's really cool about this tree, when you look it up, is it actually like extends out far, which is kind of cool. You know what I mean? Like it has like kind of this ugly like trunk type thing, but then it like really creates a lot of shade and a lot of, so then when I looked it up, I was like, I see what he means by like the birds can, you know, lodge in it because it's huge. But this big thing came from something so little teeny tiny, right? Because even like we've said, that little small tiny thing holds seeds within it, right? That are even smaller. The truth is that, see, even if we start with the smallest bit of faith, if we allow God to move, if we just step out when he's speaking to us, you begin to do a building in your life because you see like, oh, I stepped and God was faithful, right? And then when he gives you the next one, I stepped again, right? It's that foundation that's just firming up, right? Because now where you were worried or where you didn't think, maybe you didn't realize it could happen because in those moments you were brand new to God, you didn't realize he could actually do these things for you. Now you're stepping out in faith with these things that he's placing in your life and he's building you and he's building you and he's building you and he's giving you more and he's building you up to be even more than you ever thought you could be and doing things that you never thought you could do. Amen. See, it's a building process. It's why that relationship is so important. Because as you go after him, though it may have started the little tiny seed, he begins to work things in your life, give you things, show you how he took things away, show you how he worked it out for you, show you how even when you thought it couldn't be, it could be. And as he does those things in your life, yeah, it not only strengthens the relationship, but it strengthens that reflection of him in you, right? Because now you start to walk a little different. You start to deal with situations a little differently. You start to see things in a different light. You start to realize like, hey, maybe I shouldn't rage out on somebody every time I get upset. Maybe I shouldn't get super stressed out and then just make a decision. Maybe I should start learning to take a breath and go to God. Yeah. See, that's the thing. we start making a difference and a shift in the way we handle things, because now we're reflecting all the things that he's already worked and placed in your life as you've been walking with him. See, it's a constant building up. We walk with him, we commune with him, we go after him, and he continues to pull some things out and place some things in. He continues to give us things. He continues to show us things. He continues to work in areas of our life that he's needing to. And as he's doing it, it's just making us reflect who he is more. Because now we're handling things differently. We're doing things differently. We're looking differently. Let's go to Mark 4:35. It says, "And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them," this is the key, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" See, the key right there, these guys had been following him for how long? Right? How many things had they seen him do? How many miracles did they see happen in front of their eyes? Right? But when a little storm comes, they act as if he can't save them. See, again, right? This can be a reflection of how we are. Yep. See, these are people who saw him every day, the ins and outs, literally got to sit with him, which, by the way, like, let's just reflect on how amazing that would be, right? Oh, yeah. To learn one-on-one. But that's the thing, is they were still missing the point, right? Like, I'm showing you this is who I am. He even spoke to them in the things that they could do. Like, he was getting them to cast out demons and do things. And those are areas he was getting frustrated, right? Like, come on. See, it's the same thing with us. It's things that he's given us, but because we kind of do that box thing, right? We're like, oh, we can't do that. That's not a real thing. Yes, it is. It is a real thing. See, and when we learn to take hold of it, we realize that in faith, we can see them happen. See, we begin to realize that building up, that the little storms in your life and the little things that happen, it was a great moment for you to learn. See, one of the things that growing up in a church I've seen happen over and over and over, and I'm trying to hurry, okay? But one of the things that I've seen happen over and over is this hurt feeling thing, right? And I've seen it cause people to go from church to church to church, never finding a real peace in a church, because there's always this super high expectation of, like, these godly people should be perfect, right? And that's the thing, is God is perfecting us, but we gotta allow him to perfect us. See, it's not that
were just like super amazing one day. It's a process, right? It's a working. And you know something that being in a worship leader that taught me is every time somebody says something that hurts your feelings, it doesn't mean you have to run away, leave the church, or wallow in it. You have a choice to say, that's not what you've told me, so I'm just going to let that go. See, those are great moments to dive in deep. God, I'm hurt. I don't really feel happy about the way I feel. So I'm going to come to you with it. And you know, a lot of times what God will do in those moments is a strengthening, a building up, and a teaching of it's all right. See, because maybe we've hurt some feelings sometimes without meaning to. Maybe there's been some things that we've done too, and it's okay. Because see, God will deal with us on those things. Amen. If we allow him to. See, there's so much of that feet on two, you know, in the earth and in the kingdom, right? There's so much of that happens, which is why we automatically go, oh, I'm hurt. I'm back in the earth. Okay, this is not good. Somebody can't treat me this way, and it's not okay. Which, by the way, church, we're meant to be loving, right? So it is true that they shouldn't treat you that way. But at the same time, people make mistakes. They just do. You know, and God told us to forgive a lot. He didn't say just forgive them one time. He said 70 times 70, right? Like, he was like, I'm working on them. So if you got to forgive them, just forgive, forgive. Forgive. See, it's not meant for us to work somebody, right? It is a great moment for us to pray like, okay, God, I can't change that. So I'm going to ask that you work it, right? But that's the thing, is it's learning to mature in what God is doing in our life. Realizing that every little hiccup isn't going to let me misstep. Every little thing that happens isn't going to make me run, right?
Right.
But that when it happens, I'm just going to dive in a little deeper. I'm going to go a little further. God, I'm going after even more because now I need you to work on some feelings that I have going on, right? See, that's the thing. If you're feeling things, go after him. Ask him, God, what's going on? What's happening? What do you want to show me in this moment? Because he will give you things if you allow him to. But as a church, we have got to stop deciding that that's our moment to turn and run. Right? We got to start figuring out that what he's doing in our life is more important and greater than anything anybody can put a stumbling block in the way of or anything else. It's meant for us to continue after him constantly in everything, regardless of what's happening around us. And until he literally tells you, hey, go out and do this for me, then you're probably meant to stay. Right? These are some hard truths, but they are the truth. Right? That we should be waiting on God for those things, not on our own understanding, our own thoughts, our own emotions, our own feelings. Okay. These are things we really got to go after God for. It's important. It's important for us to seek him in everything, not just some things. Okay. Let's go to, Matthew 13:10. It says, the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing not see, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. I've never seen it spelled that way. Well, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So by two or three witnesses, right? He tells us, shall anything be established? He, not once, but twice, put, and there's more, but put about this hearing and not hearing, right? Seeing and not seeing. You know what I mean? This one, I just so happened to look up in the TPT too, and I really liked it. Because it had a lot, the way it words it has a lot to do with what God gave me. So it says, then his disciples approached Jesus and asked, why do you always speak to people in these hard to understand parables? He explained, you've been given the intimate experience of insight into the hidden truths and mysteries of the realm of heaven's kingdom. I really like that, because it explains exactly what he's given us. It really does. The intimate truths, the things you get by building a relationship, right? By going after him constantly. It says, but they have not. For everyone who listens with an open heart will receive progressively more revelation until he has more than enough, which is always, right? See, that's the thing. This translation, it's really just simplifying, right? And that's the thing is, it just so hits so great, because everything God was saying, it's like switching it and reading it in TBT. It's like, it just like, oh, see, it's there. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the thing, because see, I like that it said open heart, because what so often keeps us from building that relationship is when we're just like, okay, God, like I'm here to spend time. But are we really here to spend time? Have we really opened our heart to what he's trying to say, even if it's things that are good or like we feel they're bad? See, everything he gives us is good. But see, it's us who perceives them as bad, right? Like, I didn't like that correcting you gave me, right? But the correcting was needed, right? See, that's the thing. Open heart. Regardless of what it is, I'm taking it all in. All of it, right? So, for everyone who listens with an open heart will receive progressively more revelation until he has more than enough. But those who don't listen with an open, teachable heart, even the understanding that they think they have will be taken from them. That's why I teach the people using parables, because they think they're looking for truth, yet because their hearts are unteachable, they never discover it. How sad. Right? That God can be pouring into us constantly, but because we are stubborn and refuse to receive it, that we just never discover it. I don't want to be in that position. I want it all. Every part of it. And I don't want there to be a part that's not discoverable to me just because I refuse. See, that opening up is so important for us to be able, we do this thing. I've been that way for a lot of years, so good luck changing it. Yeah. Or we get in this thought of, oh, but that's how I want that. So nope, you can't touch that thing there. See,
There shouldn't be anything like that. An open heart means opening it up and saying, God, whatever you find in there, whatever's there that needs to be changed, whatever's there that needs to happen, it's open. I want it discoverable. Go for it. See, it's a state in our life that we have to start taking. We have to realize there shouldn't be anything that we're holding on to with dear life because it's the way we are or the way we want it. Everything should be open. See, and it, so that's why I teach the people using parables, because they think they're looking for truth. Yet because their hearts are unteachable, they never discover it. Although they will listen to me, they never fully perceive the message I speak. The prophecy of Isaiah describes them perfectly. Although they listen carefully to everything I speak, they don't understand a thing I say. They look and pretend to see, but the eyes of their hearts are closed. Their minds are dull and slow to perceive. Their ears are plugged and are hard of hearing, and they have deliberately shut their eyes to the truth. Otherwise, they would open their eyes to see and open their ears to hear and open their minds to understand. Then they would turn to me and let me instantly heal them. But your eyes are privileged, for they see. Delighted are your ears, for they are open to hear all these things. See, he gives you some hard truths in there, but then he says, see, but you're looking. So you have a privilege in me. You're coming after it. So there's a privilege in that now you're seeing and you're hearing. See, this is a, I'm trying to hurry, but I feel like he's got so much stuff still. Okay, listen. This is a really hard part in the church because we've really heard a lot of things, right? About this is how things should be. This is the way things should go. This is the way, right? Okay. But listen, I know this is an area that some people really struggle with, but some people think once saved, always saved, right? But God really looks at the heart. You can't say I'm saved and then be walking an earthly life and thinking you're still saved. See, God, this, okay. And this is the area that I know God really wanted us to get a hold of, because he's wanting us to understand, if you're really going after him, just like this talks about, if you're really pressing in, there's going to be some visible changes in who you are. Because you begin to reflect what you're going after. See, you begin to reflect who he is in your life because you're spending all your time going after who he is in your life. See, it's this reflection process that happens. Ooh, I got chills. It's this reflection process that happens because, see, as you're opening up, he's pouring in and he's letting all the junk come out, and it's changing. It's changing, changing, changing. So it is a area that the church has to realize that just because you spoke some words doesn't mean that you understand what you spoke or that you're even walking in it. There's a difference. And just like we talked about early about a judgment and a separation happening, don't wait to find out when you're being separated. Don't wait. Don't be walking on the line in both areas thinking I should be okay because I said that I'm saved. I said I believe in God. But your life isn't reflecting it at all. See, he wants to work on you. He wants to give you things. He wants to take you to new places. And as you allow him to do that, you literally become a new person. It's the Bible talks about the little leavening goes a long way, right? I can't think about where it's at. But it talks about how we should be a new bread. Right? Unleavened.
See, that's the thing. It says it in different ways. He talks about the bread. He talks about the baptism, right? Go under, come back up a new person. See, he talks about it in different ways. It's a literal changing. It's the old wineskin to the new wineskin, right? Yes. See, it's in different areas of the Bible in different ways, right? We just went over parables, but that when you go after these things, it starts being revealed to you. See, that's the thing. He's telling us in different ways, you got to get rid of the old. You can't keep it. You got to get it out. You got to decide, this is new. I'm going for the new, and I want only the new. I don't want the old. I'm getting rid of it. I'm letting go of it, and it's gone. Amen. See, and that's the thing. It's the same thing. God's going to work on us, right? And those things, he's going to clear out. He's going to move things out for us, right? Right? And we just have to allow him to do it in our lives. We got to let it go. We got to choose. We're new. I am new. And I am not holding on to that other stuff. I'm getting rid of it because it's not good. And I don't need it. See, we got to come to that point. Okay. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4:18. Wait, did we do that one? No. 1 Corinthians 4:18. It says, now some are puffed up. As though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love and in the spirit of meekness? See, that's the thing. I really liked this because it's what we've been talking about this whole time. We can speak and say things, but it's about the power, right? And that power, that change, it comes with allowing God to do those things in our life. It's allowing him to change us, to be a reflection of him, right? And he's literally saying right here, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word. You can say, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. Right? But your walk has so much to do with that change happening in your life. With that reflection really begin to show who he is in your life. Right? So for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Okay? So, and then, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, actually, I'm going to tell you guys, read 1 Corinthians 13. It's really, really good, right? We all know it. It's the love chapter. I'm going to read a part from it for you. It goes through, so read 1 Corinthians 13, okay? Because it really goes through who he is and who we should reflect, right? It really kind of lays it out for you, okay? But 1 Corinthians 13:10 says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, right? That it gives, okay, so first, 1 Corinthians 13, it goes through a lot of like who we are, the fruits and everything, right? Like of who God is and who we should reflect. And then it says this at the end, because he tells us that when the perfect one comes, right? Yep. That the partial is done. It's gone away, right? See, when he came, he he took away that separation, right? He died for our sins. He covered it. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could commune one-on-one with him. We could learn one-on-one, right? Yep. Which then took away any partial knowing, right? Yep. You go after God, you can know 100%. You go after him, he's going to keep revealing. He's going to keep giving you things. He's going to keep placing things. He's going to keep pouring in. Okay? So that partial becomes partial no more. It says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. See, you can't live this double life of I'm halfway in, but not all the way in. See, because he said that partial is gone. I've given you every single thing you need. I've given you access to the knowledge. I've given you access to everything. When I came and took care of all of it on a cross for you. So now it's time, right? So, were you able to put 1 Corinthians 18, Liz? Okay. 1 Corinthians 1:18. I'm on the last ones, I promise. Okay. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, right? But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Okay. Another scripture telling us that we need to start thinking in the kingdom. We need to start understanding the kingdom. We've got to start operating in the kingdom. We got to start living in the kingdom 100%. See, because he's telling us those earthly ways, they're foolishness. They're not beneficial to you. They're not anything that you need. What you need is him. He has given you everything that you need, and we got to go to him instead of looking to the world for their wisdom of what they think you should do. See, some things may not make sense. Some things may not seem like it's the way that you would do it, but guess what? That's all right, because it just shows God's hand in what he's doing in your life, that it wasn't you who did it. It's him who's doing it, and he's the one working it all out. Yeah. See, so his way is better all the time. The wisdom of the world is not something you need to be turning to them for. I felt that. That was for somebody. You do not need to go from person to person to person to person asking them, what do I do about this? What do I do about this? What do I do about this? Go to God. He has the best advice for what he has for you, for what he wants you to do. And his opinion is the only one that matters. It's the only one that should matter to you. Because the rest, going to all these different sources could lead you down a crazy road. Going to God is for sure. You know you're on the right path, the right way, the way he's got for you. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians is the last one. 1 Corinthians 1:26. And it says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised. And base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yeah. And things which are not to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. See, so that's the thing, right? Just like we were saying, there's things that the world are going to think that we should be doing, the way we should be doing it, the way we should be running your business, the way you should be, whatever it might be. But if God tells you something different, do what God told you. Because, see, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. See, the greatest place we can be is to be letting God work through us and letting him be glorified in all of it. Right? Because, see, that's the thing, is allowing him to reflect in our life and his glory to show through us, it just creates blessing. Amen. It just creates, it's like an area of glory for us, right? Yeah. See, that's the thing, is we can never go wrong in what God has for us. We can never be taking the wrong step when we're going after him for things instead of allowing the world to lead us in things. And if we begin to take hold of these things, realizing that we gotta shed off some things, some fleshly things, some holding on to the world in different ways things, we'll begin to realize that he's wanting to do so much more for us. And he's blessing and he's giving us things and he's going to continue to pour in. He's going to continue to give things and he's going to continue to grow you. And then before you know it, as you're growing, you're going to begin to see those things that we're meant to be doing start to become a normal thing for us. A faith that takes us so much further than just that little box that we started in. See, he wants us to learn to operate in the kingdom. He wants us to start doing the things that he's promised us that we can do. Okay. Abe. Where's Abe? Do you want to? Sorry, I went a little late, guys, but. But thank you for letting me finish.
So before we close here, Pastor John, you come up. And Jerry. Pastor Henry, yeah.
You know who you are.
You know who you are.
Even you're surprised, huh?
I thought there must be another Jerry.
Normally, when somebody's ready to move somewhere, we'd like to pray over them, bless them, release them to see what God has for them. And Jerry here, you're leaving next week, I think, or the week after?
I'll be here next week. Again.
Okay.
And then I'm
Do you want to tell us a little bit of where you're going?
Yes, I'm from Colorado, Springfield, Colorado, and I found this church several years ago, and I'm just here for a short period of time every year, but this church has just blessed me so much. I really appreciate it.
So that's where you're going back to, is Colorado, huh? Yeah. You got kids over there? Or?
Grandkids, great-grandkids.
Oh, big deal. Yeah. I mean, come on. No, I know what that's like. We have quite a few of them guys, too. So...
We won't be here next weekend.
If everybody will stand and just stretch your hands towards Jerry, and this is just to bless her. You know, when people move, God has some good things out there still. Yeah. And so we want to bless what God's going to do for you.
Thank you so much.
So, and hopefully when you're bored, you'll come back and visit us.
I'm cold.
All right, well, let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for those that you have chosen, Lord, to walk in your path, Lord. We thank you for Jerry, Lord, and the amount of time that she was here in this church. Lord, thank you for her, for who she is, and just even the smiles that she brings to this church body, Lord. And I ask that she goes on to her next venture, Lord, that your hand be upon her, that, Lord, that your light will shine in where you want her to be, that you will surround her with just the right people, Lord, to encourage her, to direct her, Lord, as you speak through them, Lord, that there would be no obstruction to what you want to do with her, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done, all that you will do. And Lord, thank you for just her being in this place. And may the Lord's face shine on you as you go and enjoy your time.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. So I'm going to let you. You can sit down. Don't worry, I won't take too long. But, you know, just real quick, you know, one thing that shows, like, you know, when we pray somebody to, for them, you know, to bless them on their way out, it's not about church. It's about kingdom. Okay, there's a kingdom that God has, right? And everything we do should be building up the kingdom. Not just a church, not just a body of believers, but everybody that's around us. You know, it's this thing where Rebecca was talking about, you know, we should be doing stuff, right? We shouldn't just say, oh, well, I believe, and that's good enough. We're done. The parable of the vine dresser talks about the fruitful vines he will prune. The unfruitful ones he'll cut off and throw into the fire. You know, it's the same where, you know, we are expected to do something, but the thing is that God makes it so easy for us to do. He's given us everything. Talking about being a reflection, in the book of James, first chapter, talks about, us where we're supposed to not just hear what the word is, but do what it says. And then if we don't do what it says, it's just like we're a person looking into a mirror and forgetting what we look like. We just turn away from it, forget it. We are actually supposed to see, it's like, okay, this is who I am. It's like, understand, you are a royal priesthood. Amen. Royal priesthood. Understand that when you look in that mirror and you see something that's maybe it doesn't belong there, when you look in that word of God and it says, there's something that needs to be taken out of your life, you take it out of your life. Don't forget what you read. When it says that there are some promises in there for you, where it talks about how great and amazing your life can be if you just follow God, hold on to those promises. Don't forget. Don't look away from that mirror and forget those things that you've learned. So let me just encourage you that the reflection of who you are, if you're reflecting that light, good things will come back to you. You know, I talked about how, like, that was a terrible week that I had and everything. The thing is that, you know what? Everything was righted for me, but you know how? I didn't say anything. That sounds crazy, right? I didn't say anything. You know what happened? Because of the character and who I am and the things I've done, the relationships I've built at work, other people spoke up for me. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. But God, he blesses you. He gives you favor just for being a person that he's calling you to be. So let me encourage you to do that. It was also in the book of Luke, and it was in the chapter that chapter 12 that Rebecca was reading. Just a little bit further down, it talks about or she might have read this, but it talks about, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So just hold on to God. Treasure that. Just like, you know, selling everything to have God. Be that person, because it will lead to such an amazing and great life. So if you would, let's stand with me and we'll pray as we go out here. Lord, I just ask that the message, the words that we heard today, God, that it be something that's inscribed on our hearts, something that actually makes an outward difference in who we are, so that we are that reflection of you, that perfect reflection of righteousness and goodness, and that love that you have shown us, we spread to others. So Lord, that they can see your love, they can be people who can find that. Let us be those people, Lord, that build your kingdom, not just a church. We're not just Christians when we're in church, Lord, but that we are powerful, moving people when we are here and when we are out in this world, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. All right. You are dismissed. Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.